This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Maurice Jones joins me live in studio. He is the acting city manager for the city of Charlottesville. 100 degrees.
It's toasty outside.
It is indeed. Yeah. Now, you're not a former weather guy. You're a former sports reporter.
I am. Yep.
But you can appreciate the hot weather.
I certainly can. And this is, weather guys are in their environment right now. So what you get into the middle of the summer, and it's pretty much the same, kind of the same thing, hazy, hot, and humid. Is that right?
Yeah. Just keep repeating that. And chance of thunderstorms.
Exactly. Bingo, that's it. They could just tape it on Monday and run it all week.
Speaking of thunderstorms, where were you during that? Before I left last week,
sure.
I was on a cruise to the Great Lakes. And before I left those, when we had that big storm with, what was it? What was the final verdict? Was it multiple microbursts?
Kind of the microbursts. Yeah. The second set that we've had this summer, unfortunately. We hadn't had an event like that in 5 years before that. And the second one was certainly much more destructive than the first one, and that was pretty destructive in and of itself. So
yeah,
I was actually in a meeting in City Hall, and quite frankly, we were in the second floor conference room there, and the first sign that we knew that something was going on was that the lights were flickering. Aside from that, you had no idea in the middle of that building what was going on outside. And so when the lights went off, then that was obviously a tip that this was a little bit worse than your regular thunderstorm.
Yeah. And we had, power out to tens of thousands of people. And, I've been criticized for saying this, but we did have a lot of people who were actually hurt, in this from, falling debris. And
we did. I mean, fortunately, we didn't have folks who were, at least in terms of responses to the city or calls to the city, we didn't have a lot of folks who were seriously injured or had life-threatening injuries, but there were some folks who were injured, because of falling debris. And there was a car on Rugby Road, that we knew of pretty early on in the storm in which someone did suffer some pretty serious injuries. But of course, the first question that we ask when we get an email about that is, are they life threatening? And they weren't in that case. But yeah, there were folks who were injured, but fortunately we did not have a loss of life.
Yeah. So the cleanup now, what's going on now with cleaning this up? Because we still have right out in front of this building, not in front of this building, but across the street in front of the health clinic, there's still a massive, massive tree that's just topped over, It's pulled up its entire root system with it.
Well, our response in these types of situations is, first and foremost, can we get police officers out pretty quickly to man some of the main intersections when a storm like this hits? If we need to, because some of our intersections have battery backups. So the power goes out, the batteries kick right in. Those only last for a certain amount of time, about 8 hours or so. So we try to identify the other places in which police officers are called to. We also have our fire department respond pretty quickly to get tape out to block roads, because one of the problems that you have when a storm like this hits is that, as you know from this last storm, we had a lot of damage with trees and power lines together. For a pedestrian who's walking by, you may not be aware of that by sight, that there are live wires within that debris, and you may try to walk through it. So we try to get firefighters out as quickly as possible, police officers, others, to cordon that off so that people realize that there's some danger there. And we realized fairly quickly that we would have to provide debris pickup once again for this storm, because it was very widespread, and we knew that folks would have a lot of debris that they'd either have to take off on their own or pay someone to do it. So fairly quickly we touched base with the council, and our city council, and they agreed to go ahead and do another free pickup this time around.
Yeah, so people dragging big limbs to the street corner.
Exactly. And it's a long process. That's one of the things that I don't think people realize, is that if you've got in some of these neighborhoods, four or five houses on the street that have a lot of brush, a lot of debris, a lot of tree limbs and trunks to pick up, it takes a lot of time to do that. And so we have gone through kind of the southern part of the city first, and we've completed most of that work. Now we're working on kind of the eastern, southeastern portion of the city, and then we'll make our way to the northern portion, which is probably the hardest hit out of this storm.
We're talking with Maurice Jones, acting city manager for the city of Charlottesville, and the phone lines are open at 977 1070. And when you say you're in this part of the city, then you're moving to that one, you mean with this big pickup of trying to get all this stuff picked
exactly.
up.
Exactly. And we wanted to start on the southern side of town because it was not as hard hit as the northern part of the town. We wanted to give people the opportunity to clean up the yards and get the debris to the side of the roads, so that we could pick it up. And so we are kind of making our way kind of counterclockwise around the city. And we should be concentrating in the next few weeks on the northern part that was hardest hit, as I mentioned.
Yeah. I talked to a guy today, a friend whose car was completely destroyed by a tree that fell from his neighbor's yard.
Right.
So his neighbor's tree fell into his driveway or in his property and completely destroyed his car.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories like that.
Oh,
from this past storm.
It's incredible. Yeah. And it's got to be on his insurance because it wasn't his tree.
Right.
You know, it's just an act of God and,
sure.
and that kind of thing. And that's just awful. I mean, my heart just goes out to some of these folks. And we've got people whose, you know, homes were crushed, you know, and trees fell into their homes.
We had over 30 homes that we had to investigate. That's another thing that the city provides, another service that they provide in a storm like this, is that we'll send out our inspectors to take a look at houses that have been hit by trees and help the owners determine whether or not it's habitable. And so we will go in, and if it's not, they'll pretty quickly tell folks that you've got to find another place to stay because it's dangerous for you to be here.
Yeah. Well, God forbid this happens again. I mean, we already had two with just weeks apart.
Yeah, I think we've had enough of that already this summer. Hopefully it doesn't hit again.
Yeah, well, this 100-degree weather doesn't help. It's a bit ominous, you know.
Well, and especially because I think, you know, now whenever we think of a major thunderstorm moving through, you have no choice but to think about the two experiences that we've already had this summer. And it kind of changes the dynamic a little bit. And for us, especially in city government, it changes the dynamic. We're on edge a little bit more and try to be as prepared as possible to respond to yet another storm like we've already seen this year.
We're talking with Mo Jones from the city of Charlottesville. The phone lines are open. You got a question, 977-1070. Speaking of the heat now, what's the city do as far as you've got a cooling center? Is that right?
Yeah, we've opened up the Key Center as a cooling center throughout the day to allow people a place to go if they don't have air conditioning. You know, there aren't a lot of accommodations there, but it does help you get out of the heat and into, you know, kind of a cool environment for a little while. And we've pretty much had the Key Center open since the kind of first heat wave came through. It's something that we try to be pretty careful about going into the summertime. It's really important for folks to get out of the heat if they can. If they don't have air conditioning, if they know, and especially if they're older, if they have health problems, please take advantage of that. If you don't have a friend or a family member to turn to or somewhere else to go, please feel free to come down to the Key Center, which is located off of East Market Street.
How does it work? I mean, you just walk in, right?
You can just walk in. You don't have to register or anything
you,
like that.
You pay just people with in. Fans to stand there and fan people?
No,
is that how it works?
Make sure the
put
AC's
grapes in
working.
Their mouth?
As long as the AC is working, that's what we're able to offer.
So it's just a big enclosed space with air conditioning. You can just step in off the street and enjoy a little AC.
And stay there for as long as you like, as long as you need. So even if you have some friends at, you know, different or family members at different times of the day that can help you out, and there you need to be somewhere for 2 hours to keep yourself cool, please feel free to do that. We haven't, up until this heat wave, we haven't had a ton of people take advantage of that, but we certainly open it up as an option. I guess it was last week or the week before, we had about 25 people who came during one of the days.
Yeah. How many people do you think are living in the city without air conditioning?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you.
I don't have any idea. I mean, I know when you go north, most of the homes don't have it. Like when I lived in upstate New York, I mean, they don't have a central AC in those homes.
Yeah.
A lot of those homes don't have.
Family in Europe, for instance, and, they don't have a lot of these types of heat waves. So most of the buildings, especially older buildings, don't have air conditioning. They're actually, I think, experiencing a heat wave right now in Europe. So if you haven't had to have it in the past and you could make do with fans or whatever it may be, you certainly have been able to do that. But now with this, some of the heat that we're seeing, it's just not a good idea.
We are talking with Maurice Jones of the city of Charlottesville. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Before I let you go, you wanted to update us about the dialogue on race. The dialogue is done, but now we're moving into the new phase is underway.
Exactly. We have the study circle process that took place during the winter in February and into March. And then we took all of these ideas, these action ideas that came out of these different groups. And we had an action forum in May. And since then, we have been forming what we're first calling working groups. And these are kind of like the big picture issues issues of race, dealing with social and cultural areas here in town, government, education, economics. Those are the big working groups. And underneath each one of these working groups, we have action, smaller action teams that are being formed who will focus exclusively on specific issues to try to address and move forward here in our community. And so we are still asking folks who are interested in the dialogue to be a part of this process, and they can still register to be a part of an action team at charlottesville.org/dialogue. Or they can give us a call at the city manager's office, 970-3101. So it's not too late to still be a part of this process.
So this process that's going on now involves meetings and
input. Yeah. So smaller groups that are gathering, and what they're doing is they're taking a look at, well, what are our community assets? What are the barriers? What have been barriers to keep us from doing certain things to help bring people together? So they're taking a look at all those different things, and then they're coming up with an action plan for getting something accomplished. And we had over 150 action ideas that were generated.
You're kidding, really?
But of course, we've had to prioritize and kind of focus and that type of thing because we can't, you know, we as a community can't deal with all of that at once. And so we do have people who are working on specific action ideas. And once they're done with that, we hope to move on to kind of the next list of ideas.
There you go. Maurice Jones, now I got to ask you, can you give us an update about the McGuffey Park and what's going on with McGuffey Park? Do you know anything about what's happening with that?
Sure. I mean, there are a couple of different issues that have been kind of surrounding McGuffey Park. I mean, one, we have had an influx. It's become a very popular place for kids to hang out in the evenings, on the weekends, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And we want
just the latest. I mean, there's always some new place that they find when the weather gets nice.
Well,
they just pop up somewhere.
The downtown mall has become a very popular place, and we want kids to come and enjoy the park. We want kids to come down and enjoy the downtown mall, but we also want them to behave and to not damage things, which we've seen at McGuffey Park. We have stepped up enforcement, at McGuffey. We've asked, our officers to go over there when the park is scheduled to close and tell folks to move along, because they're not supposed to be there first and foremost. And there are some activities that were taking place, amongst some of the kids over there. I think that's one of the things that we have to be careful about. It wasn't all the kids who are engaged in these types of activities, but still, technically, the park closes at 9 o'clock, and the kids should be moved along, and they have been. The other issue that's come up is just the condition of some of the amenities in the park and some of the problems that we've had with those over the last couple of years since the park was renovated. And right now, what we're doing is we're taking we've taken a look at that, and we've said, folks, certain aspects are not working of this park, and we need to change that. And so the Parks and Rec department is moving along with doing that. They've identified what things worked and what didn't. One of the concerns that we had was the slide in the sand area. That didn't work. So we're going to put some play equipment in there that's appropriate for preschool age kids. And we're taking a look at some of the plantings over there. We're taking a look at some of the drainage over there. And so we hope to have those issues addressed in the next 3 to 4 or 5 months or so, so that the park will be a full functioning park and something that would still attract people to come over and be a part of it.
There you go. Maurice Jones, he's the acting city manager for the city of Charlottesville, Virginia. Thank you, Mo. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.